This morning, we're reading from the book of Daniel, a little longer than I usually read, so I'll sit down beforehand to keep from falling down. And let's read these scriptures. By the way, the title of the message is Satan is a Bully. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote down the dream and told the sum of the matters. Hello. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heaven strove upon the great sea. And the four beasts came up out of the sea, diverse one from another. And the first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. And behold, another beast, a second, like a bear, and it raised itself up on one side and had three ribs in his mouth of it between the teeth of it, and they said unto it, Arise and devour much flesh. After this I beheld, and lo, another like a leopard, which had upon the back its four wings of a fowl. The beast also had four heads, and dominion was given to it. After this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, and strong exceedingly, and it had a great lion's teeth. And it devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them a little horn, another one. Wherefore, whom there are three, the first horns plucked up by the roots, and behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. I beheld till thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as a burning fire. And the fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. I beheld then, because of the voice of the great words of which the horn spake, I beheld even till the beast was slain, and his body destroyed, and given to the burning flame. As concerning the rest of the beast, they had their dominion taken away, and their life was prolonged for a season and a time. And I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given unto him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. And I was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. I came near unto the one of them that stood by and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me, and made me know the interpretation of the things. These great beasts which are four kings, which shall arise out of the earth. And the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom, and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and forever. Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceedingly dreadful, whose teeth were made of iron, his nails were brass, which devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue of his feet. and the 10 horns that were in his head, and the other which came up before him, the three fell, even of that horn that had eyes and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. And I beheld the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them. Until, let's say that word together, until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given unto the saints of the Most High, and the time came for the saints possessed the kingdom. Praise be unto God for the reading and hearing of his precious word. That's a longer passage of scripture than I usually read in a sermon because I don't want people to get wore out with me. I have to tell you something, folks. The reading of God's word and hearing thereof ought to be a precious thing in the house of God. And old people, years ago, they always had an Old Testament reading and a New Testament reading. And one of the reasons for that was that so many people in the congregation could not read the Bible for themselves. And so if the Bible was read and people paid attention, they learned the Word of God. And I have to tell you, I've known people in this congregation, gone on to be with the Lord now, who could not read and write. They were maybe write their name or something, but functionally they were illiterate. And yet they heard the Word of God read so many times and so often that they could quote you any number of passages of Scripture. And I admired those people for learning the Scripture. And some of them, I've known them even to have their children sit down after the children went to school and read the Bible to them, and how they would commit it to their mind because it was so precious. Well, today I read that whole passage of Scripture, and if you're paying attention, you know that leads right into the Antichrist and right into the end time and bears that we look at it. And I have to tell you something, folks. There's something going on here more than Washington, D.C. There's something going on more than the United Nations in New York. There's something going on in the world today more than all of the things that men are doing. You say, well, what in the world is it? I'll tell you what it is. There's a battle going on. Amen. It's been going on for ages. It's been going on since ancient times. But it's winding down. The time is coming that the Ancient of Days will sit upon the throne of his glory, and his son will stand before him worthy to take the book and undo it. And my friend, the saints will possess the kingdom. And all of this trials and tribulations and stuff that we go through with is going to pass away, and there's going to be a wonderful time coming. And you say, well, what's the battle going on? Well, the Almighty God sits on the throne of his glory and ultimately rules and super rules, old people used to say. But I have to tell you something, my friend. There's an enemy out there. We call him Satan. Sometimes we call him other names. And sometimes we wish we could just get a hold of him and choke the very daylights out of him because he's making life so miserable for human beings on the earth. So we fight against him. And so Satan is there. And I know the modern theologian in seminary don't like us to talk about Satan. They don't want to believe that there is a Satan. They say, oh, that's just old-fashioned imagination of people's hearts. And there's no such thing as a real devil. There's no such thing as a real Satan. Well, I don't know where they've been for the last few years, but I thought I saw him in Pembroke the other day. Pretty sure I saw him a time or two in Parisburg. And I know I saw him on television every day. And I've seen lots of evidence that Satan's here. And I have to tell you, folks, the evidence that Satan is a real and a personal being, person with a personality. He's not omnipresent like God. He can't be everywhere at one time. But he has a lot of fallen angels and evil spirits with him that work, do his bidding and do his work here on this earth. But as we look at Satan and we say, what's the evidence of here? We want to, you know, cite all the dope and the liquor and all that. And that certainly is evidence of it. But the infallible evidence that there is a devil, personal and real, is right here. He said so. The Bible says so. So there is a real devil, and he's in the world. And you say, well, who is this devil? What's he like? What kind of a person is he? Well, first of all, he's a spirit. He can inhabit a body. The fact is, I think he's real mad because we got bodies and he don't. He didn't get a body. He's a ministering spirit. All angels are spirits. The Bible says so. Are they not all ministering spirits sent to minister to the heirs of salvation? So my friends, there is a spirit being. And that's why Paul said we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the powers and principalities of darkness, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Brothers and sisters, there's a war going on. It's raged through the ages and it's coming down to the conclusion, and the battle is about to be over. And you say, and who's it with? It's with this fellow called Satan. He was once Lucifer, the son of the morning, brightness of God's glory, apple of God's eye, and he led the singing in heaven. He was in charge of the music. Go back and read the scriptures in heaven. And today he has gone into terrible rebellion against God, and for ages on ages has fought against God. That's what's happened. And you say, what's this person called Satan like? Well, number one, let's just look at what the Bible says. It says all kinds of things about him. It says he's a thief. The Bible says he's a thief, and he is. He steals people's homes from them, steals their life away from them, steals their health, steals their education, steals their children away from the fathers and mothers, steals the parents away from the children. He steals everywhere, and he destroys. He's a liar. The Bible said he's a liar and the father of lies. And he causes people to believe the wrong thing because he is a liar. He began his lies in the Garden of Eden with humankind. I don't know if he told any lies before man was created or not. I have a notion he did, but we don't know about that. But what we do know is that he created, when Adam and Eve were created and put in the garden, this old boy came into the garden and started telling lies, and his lies deceived Adam and Eve, at least deceived Eve. Adam went in pretty much with his eyes open, to tell you the truth, and deceived them, and they failed by the wayside. The Bible says he's a murderer, says he's a killer. And my friend, he is. Every day I see the evidence how he has killed marriages and killed lives and killed homes and killed children, killed parents. I see the evidence of him convincing people to drink and to take dope and do all kinds of stupid things, and they wind up by the side of the road of life and they've been murdered. He's murdered their reputations. He's murdered their lives. He's killed everything. He's the arch enemy. How many times the Bible speaks of him as the enemy? He is the arch enemy of God and man. Do you realize, my friend, that the devil hates you? He perfectly despises you. You know why? You're so far ahead of him that he'll never catch up in a trillion years. He's been trying through the ages to get rid of man ever since God made him. And when God came forth and presented man in the Garden of Eden and presented Eve, Satan went wild. He didn't know it. God didn't put it on Facebook and tell him he was fixing to do that. God didn't tell anybody what he was fixing to do. But the day came that when God had created the earth and created everything in it, and Satan must have looked at it, because there had been a terrible war, you know, beforehand, and the earth had been destroyed once before, at least once before, and was only a charred remains of what it was. It was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and mankind were on this planet, and on this planet they were walking in the ashes of a world that had lived beforehand, and we still see evidence of it everywhere today. And Satan is the arch enemy of God and man. He hates you because you've got a body, and you've got the potential in this human body to leave this world and go be with God and live in his presence forever. You've got the opportunity to come to God and get rid of your sins and get rid of your burdens and all the things you're carrying, and make it into heaven with God and live eternally with Him. Brothers and sisters, Satan couldn't do that. There was no plan of salvation, no plan of redemption for Satan. I'll tell you something else Satan had. Would all the ladies raise your hands? You know there are no female devils. Now I know, boys, you're not going to believe me, but I'm telling you the truth. You just want to believe the word of God. There are no female devils. None. Bible never speaks of a female devil. You never can do it. Girl over at Philippi, when Paul was preaching, had a demon and standing by the side of the road and prophesied to Paul and them as he went by. And Paul stopped her and cast out the devil one day. And when it said she cast out the devil, what was it he cast out? It was a hymn. It was a hymn. You never heard. I know you don't believe it, guys, but you never heard of a she-devil. There's no such thing in the Bible as a she-devil. All the demons are spoken of as men. All of them are spoken of as men. Now, I have to tell you something else. You never heard of a she-angel either.
Preach.
Lord, the man's done fell out in the spirit. No, I don't know how many angels God created. Angels were not made the same way we are. They're spirit beings. They can take on a body, and when they don't have a body and they're evil, they go looking for bodies to possess and to get in, and they're horrible. That's part of the war that's going on. When he says he's the prince of the power of the air, that's telling me that he's in the atmosphere around this earth. All of these terrible demons, fallen angels, and Satan himself are caught in that, and for Satan is known as the prince of the power of the air. He's the one that's over it all. The Bible says he's a seducer. The Bible says he's a deceiver. The Bible says he's a tempter. He's here working his work, tempting people, seducing people, convincing people to do things that they ought not to do. And you know what? He's called the ancient serpent, or the dragon. That old serpent, which is the dragon, the devil. My friend, yes, that's the same one that slithered into the Garden of Eden and did his dirt with Mother Eve and Father Adam and caused all the sins and heartaches to come. Yes, that's the one who's throughout the ages caused us to have wars and caused us to have pandemics and all the things that go on in the world that's horrible. He's the author of it. He's the one who instigated it and started it out. And I have to tell you, that old serpent, if you go back to Genesis and start reading the book, oh, my friend, don't read. Don't listen to some stupid science fiction something. They're not any zombies and limbos and all that kind of stuff. Don't get involved with all that stuff. It leads down the road to hell and to witchcraft. Don't do that. My friend, look at the authority. Look at the authority right here. You've got the authority that tells you what's happening and when and how. And my friend, I challenge you to look at the real authority and see what it says. Because you see, my friend, if you go in this book and you watch, you'll see that serpent crawling in the Garden of Eden. But if you pay attention, you'll see him crawl right through Noah's time, and you'll see him crawl through Abraham's time. I remember when I was a kid, down there in front of Granddaddy's store below where Doug lives, always a big old rattlesnake crossing the road one evening late, and we saw him coming, and Uncle Ted was coming down the road in a 1953 Plymouth. He was proud of it. It had overload springs on it so he could carry extra people to church, and it was a dark green 1953 Plymouth, and he come down the road and he saw it. He slammed on his brakes and slid on that big old rattlesnake, and I mean, he was dead as far as I was concerned. And nobody went out and played with him or nothing, but he laid still, and the snake never moved, and he was just ground to jelly where he ran over him with that car. But the next morning, it's just the dirt roads, you know, and the dust about that deep to run up when the car went by. And we went down the next morning, and the snake wasn't in the road anymore. But there was a trail in the dust where he went, we thought he was dead, the serpent. We thought he was gone. He wasn't gone. He just playing possum till he got done. And that night when it cooled down and everybody left, old boy crawled off and left his trail through the dust down over the hill into the creek and went away. Never did find that old boy again. And you see, he died, I assume he did sometime, but not that day. And that's what happens if you read the Bible, my friend. You can find a trail where the old serpent has crawled through the books of history, crawled through Rome and crawled through Athens, crawled through Egypt, even crawled up on Calvary's hill and crucified the Son of God, dirty thing. My friend, everywhere the trail of the serpent goes through the pages of history, and you need to look at it and watch it. What a terrible thing it is. What an awful trail of sickness and suffering and heartache and tears. Oh, thank God for what I think Dottie Rambo wrote, "Tears will never stain the gates of that city. No wreaths of death will be on my mansion door." Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that's true this morning? My friend, that old serpent's crawled around and left his venom and left his heartache and left his sorrow all over the pages of the human history. My friend, it's about over. His days are numbered and he's mad. Always mad. The devil's mad. He hates you to start with because you have the power of procreation. You have womankind and mankind. He hates you for all of that, but he hates it even worse because he's been listening better than people have to what God has said, and he knows he has but a short time to work. In fact, as the Bible said, "Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth, for the devil has come down to you and is angry because he has a short time to work." Did you notice that last beast, that final beast on the earth? Did you ever see a mad dog? Did you ever see a dog just so mad and he'd run and grab someone to seize it? He's just shaking the daylights out of it. And this beast is grabbing and shaking the daylights out of human beings. And he's stomping his feet and everything. What he can't tear up with his mouth, he stomps with his feet. And what he can't stomp with his feet, he's got claws on his hands and his feet that reach out, my friend. And he has a mouth and he speaks great things against God and against his church. You know what the Bible calls him? Bible calls him Beelzebub. You had that? They called Jesus that, didn't they? They said Jesus cast out devils, and they said, yeah, he does that by Beelzebub. Well, who in the world is Beelzebub? Do you know who Beelzebub is? You know what the word Beelzebub means? Lord of the flies. Don't you hate an old fly and its larva? Don't you hate maggots? Anything coated with maggots and eat up with maggots? My friend, I want you to know something about the devil. He's associated with every kind of nasty and ungodly thing that there is. He's associated, my friend, with frogs and spiders and snakes, darkness, dankness, vermin and disease. That's what he's associated with. He's Beelzebub, Lord of the flies. I want to tell you, such an awful creature I've just described to you, such an awful creature I've just told you what all he is, a liar, a murderer, an enemy, a seducer, a deceiver, a tempter, a serpent, and Lord of the flies. My goodness, who'd ever want to do anything with this bird? Who would ever want to obey him? And yet, my friend, every day that you live, they shout his praises from the top of the highest mountains and buildings that man has created to the lowest. Every day that you live, my friend, we entertain ourselves by all of his stuff that he does. Our entertainment is adultery and fornication and murder and mayhem and all of that. So much so that even the news has become our entertainment of all the sad things that are going on in the world. Let me tell you something. Satan's a bully. Did you notice this about Satan? He has a mouth. Oh, mercy, he has a mouth, evermore he has a mouth. And out of his mouth, he speaks great things. Out of his mouth, he speaks big things. And you say, what big things? Against the Ancient of Days, against God, and against his Christ, and against his people. He builds himself up to be somebody that he's not. He's intimidating. And how he say, how does he intimidate people? Did you read in there? By his words and his looks. By his words and his looks. How many of you ever knew a bully in school? Boy, I hated him. I happened to be one of the kids that wasn't particularly captain of the football team or even on it. I happened to be one of those kids that read books and wore glasses and was fair complected. And I'm sure fair game for a bully. And it's not any fun being bullied, is it? You ever been bullied? You ever been bullied? You ever been to the playground when you was a kid? And you just hated seeing so-and-so out there. You just hated seeing him out there. I remember one fella, bless his heart, God love him. He was older than us a lot. It took four of us to whoop him, but we finally figured out we didn't have to do it by ourselves. Four of us could get together and do it. But he would whoop up on us little kids. He should have been in the 7th or 8th grade, and he was in the 4th grade. He really had a bad turn, an awful turn. I would hate to see him when I went to the playground. I'd hate to see him when I went around the schoolhouse, because I can remember going around the corner of the schoolhouse at Bluff City, and he would be standing around the corner waiting just to whoop up on us. And you hated that bully. You hated that every day. You had to listen to it, and you had to see it. And all the time, to get our attention, he didn't have to say anything or do anything. Just be there and let us see him. Let us look at him. Show us, you know. Well, one day he got grown after serving time in prison and everything. Let me tell you the rest of that story, because it's good. He met a little girl, a little holiness girl, with a bun on her head and long sleeves and a long dress below her knees, and sanctified girl. She took him to church and he got saved. Thank God that bully is a sanctified man today, because the Lord said, isn't that wonderful the Lord will do that? And you say, don't you resent him being saved? Oh, that's the best possible answer that could have come. I couldn't told you that story and told you a better ending. I'm so thankful that God saved him. But I can tell you, he sure made my heart paint hard a few times when I was 10, 11 years old, you know, and he was so much older than us. And the words and the looks, how Satan has done that. And you know what, my friend? That's what he's been doing all through the ages. As I watch that trail of that serpent go through the dust of history and time, and I look down on what he's doing, my friend, and I look back, and I can see he's been intimidating people through all the years. He's been making people afraid. He's been making people sorry that they were here in this world. He's been making people sorry that they had a family and not raising their family, not doing right by their children, not doing right by themselves. My friend, how terrible he's done through the years. You say, does this story have a good ending to it? It's been such a sad story you've told today, and all this stuff you talked about, this enemy that does. Is there a good ending to this story? Well, thanks be unto God, yes, there is, my friend, because he's going to do this until, say the word we did a while ago, until what? The Ancient of Days has come and sat down on the throne. And before him, Hallelujah. Before him is brought the Son of Man. And the Son of Man stands before his Father, the Ancient of Days. And as he stands there, there's given unto him dominion and power and a kingdom that shall never end. And peace and prosperity shall follow. And all of the people of God throughout all of the ages are going to go in and possess that kingdom. Yes, give God the glory. Hallelujah. Yes, throughout all the ages, my friend, we're going in and possess the kingdom. It's ours. My friend, Jesus died and paid for it, and I'm an heir to a mansion in glory. I'm an heir to an address on a street of gold. I'm an heir to my position, my friend, in front of the throne of God. And my friend, God has given it to me, and he gave it to me free if I would only accept the price, and that was the price of his Son dying on Calvary's cross. John saw it in the Revelation when the Ancient of Days sat with the scroll in his hand, and nobody in heaven or earth or hell or under the earth or any place could open the scroll because there's nobody worthy. You say, what happened? Did it just grind to a halt? John thought it did and went to crying. He was a grown man, 90 years old. He went to crying. And the angel said, don't you cry. Don't you cry. Don't cry, John. Nothing to cry about. But history's all bound up. History's all wound up. How are we going to get out of this? The serpent has coiled around us, has choking us to death, and this poison has infected everybody. How are we going to get out of here? How are we going to get done with this? He said, don't worry about it. The Lamb of God, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, has prevailed. Glory to God. Glory to God. Bless the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to the Lamb. Glory to the Lamb. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. He has prevailed. My God, the battle's over. The victory's won. Hallelujah. And you say, what about this? What about this old deceiver here? What about this old murderer? Oh, he'll be consumed in the flames of fire for eternity. Didn't it say that? Didn't it say that? My friend, let me tell you something. We talk about the devil's hell. He's not there yet, but he's going. It was created for him. It wasn't created for you. It wasn't created for no human being. It was created for the devil and his angels. My friend, I can tell you today, the victory is ours. I always sing it, victory, victory, victory is mine. Hallelujah, and it is, it is. Well, what a day that will be. What a day that will be. Hallelujah. Come on, let's sing it. I'm going to pray while the choir comes, and let's get ready to sing and worship the Lord. Thank him for sending the wind of his Spirit through here just now and letting us hear from heaven. Father, we give you praise and glory and honor for all that you've done. You've been a great and a good and a marvelous God. Lord, we thank you, we praise you, we glorify you for the salvation of Israel. Thank you, Father, for the releasing of the prisoners. And thank you, God, for the opportunity that we see ahead to receive the blessing of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Praise God. Praise God.